Hello, and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. I have a fabulous, amazing guest tonight. Her name is Bea Yates, and I'm so excited for you all to listen to what she has to say because she has a very interesting story. So I want to tell you all a bit about her. So Bea Yates is bold and daring. She had the courage to face some of her biggest fears by attending an orgasmic meditation workshop where she discovered finally where her clitoris is. Her experience of stimulation went from extreme pain and terror to extreme pleasure in a matter of minutes, changing her life forever. From there, Bea set out on a journey of transforming her personal history of sexual abuse, shame, and guilt the same way she rode her bicycle solo from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific without looking back. Bea's reason for devoting herself to the revolutionary work of sex coaching and education is simple. She wants to give everyone a chance at the same freedom she has found. I love that. With more than 12 years experience as a pioneering educator, she brings a unique blend of professional know-how, authentic communication, and personal vulnerability to her practice. Compassionately, she guides clients to venture boldly into the unknown territory of sexual liberation and become their most radiant selves in the bedroom and beyond. She is a certified circle facilitator, tantra counselor trained with Sean Roop, life lit facilitator. She's training with Charles Muir, Source Tantra, contact improv dance teacher, authentic man program, and she's also had extensive training in landmark education. So I'd like to welcome Bea Yates to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
You're welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I'm excited to get to talk to you.
Wonderful. Well, you have such a great story, and I love that your focus is really on, you know, taking traumatic sexual experiences and changing people to, you know, make sex enjoyable again. So I know I read a bit about it in your bio, but just tell us more. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah. So, you know, my journey starts from my childhood where sex was either not talked about in the house, or if it was dirty, bad, and wrong. And so that's kind of how I began. And I was really clueless. I wasn't even until I was late in my teens until I actually understood what sex actually was. And one of my first boyfriends when I was 16 forced me to go down on him, and he forced himself inside me with his hand, and it was just really traumatic and painful. And then it wasn't until, like I said already in my bio, I was 29 years old and I was at Burning Man, and I had an opportunity to go to that workshop. And for me to even show up to that dome to go to that workshop was terrifying in and of itself. And, you know, I can remember even watching, so with the orgasmic meditation, in this workshop, we first watched this girl get strokes with a clitoris stroking practice, 15-minute clit stroking practice, orgasm meditation. And we're watching this demonstration. So this guy is stroking her clitoris, and she's feeling really lovely. And we are supposed to say what we're feeling in our body. And I was horrified to actually say out loud what I was feeling, because most people were saying like, yummy, hot, oh, that feels so good. And I was feeling pain and terror, and I could feel my pussy isn't that hurting her? So that's kind of like where I started. And then once I actually did the practice in the workshop with my partner who I just met that day, at first, whenever he touched me, it was like glass. It was so pain, like a shard of glass. It was really painful. And then eventually with some coaching, I was able to actually breathe, relax, and drop into pleasure. And it was almost as if when I left that dome, I was a completely different person. And it was almost as if this whole area of the human experience that wasn't available to me before what had just been opened up. And there was just a different skip in my step from then on, and I could hold my shoulders back more and stand taller. And and then I also did quite a bit more work with Tantra and some coaches and some various different workshops and things to clear out some more of the pain that was there. But really, that was the turning point for me. And yeah, and as I said in the bio, going from that place where I began to where I'm at now, I am excited and honored to be, you know, a guide for someone to go through that portal if that's what they desire.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because, yeah, sexuality is such a, it's so prominent in our lives, but it's also so fragile. And fragile. And I can't seem to speak today. you know, when that can turn in, you know, we can have life experiences where things turn into trauma. And it's so great that you're able to help bring people back to a state of pleasure or where things are meant, how things are really meant to be. So,
yeah,
what do
and
you
know
think
what? I just wanted to say one more thing before we go to the next question. I do work with people who have had trauma, but the thing that really fascinates me is that a lot of people don't relate to something that they've gone through as traumatic, but we all have subtle moments of trauma. And I don't even use that word a lot of times when I'm working with my clients, but oftentimes they're messaging that we get from our culture that we don't even realize that we get. And I think that part of the work that I do is helping people see their views that is actually keeping them from what they're actually wanting. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I don't just work with people who have trauma.
Right. No, and I appreciate you saying that. That, you know, lightens or, you know, gives an even bigger realm. So great.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are some of the common or universal issues people face with sexuality? Great transition.
Yeah, perfect. I think the absolute number one question that gets asked around sexuality is, am I normal? And if I could just like get a megaphone and say to the whole world, whatever is true about your body and about your pleasure and about your desires is normal for you. And there's no one else on the planet that has your profile of what turns you on and what turns you off and how you express yourself. You are a unique snowflake. And so am I normal is, I think, the absolute number one question. And I'm going to plug this. It's one of my favorite books is Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. Have you read that book?
I haven't, but I'm going to write it down.
I will say it's definitely one of the books that I recommend almost everyone to read, Come As You Are. And almost this whole book is basically like, you are normal, you are normal, you are normal. Whatever you got going on, you are normal. So that is the number one thing I think is a common universal challenge. And then another one is pressure to perform. And I know that a lot in hearing that it's likely that people think about men, but there's a lot of pressure, I think, for women. Like, for example, squirting has become a pretty big trend and it's becoming more and more popular. And now I think there's a lot of women who have the pressure to perform, like they need to be multi-orgasmic or they need to be squirting cups and cups of liquid. So I think that's another common universal problem. And being disconnected from our bodies, not accepting our bodies and not being in tune with our bodies. And then this one's not a surprise, is lack of communication. And lack of communication can, which, right, like any relationship problem, you can pretty much always say, well, there's communication that is lacking or is the challenge. So lacking in communication around people asking for what they want or communicating what works for them or even asking their partners what they want. And then even
right.
above that, right, like if you look at a meta level above just asking for what you want is the context or the why. And that's when some of the tantra gets incorporated into sexuality and intimacy. It's like, why are we engaging in this sexual activity or energy? Like, what is the purpose? What are we experiencing? What are we getting out of this? So to actually have people have conversations about having sex can be really empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So. Mm-hmm.
And what are, what are some of the ways women can help women or men last longer in bed? This is a fun question and something I tend to cover a little bit when I do parties for women. So I'd love to hear your thoughts and tips on this.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, what are some ways that women can help men last longer in bed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm really, really passionate about women having the most pleasure and the most connection and the most experience of honor. And how I do that is I work with men because I help men learn how women's bodies work so that they can go out and pleasure the women way better than they could before they met me. So the other thing is, like, I want other women to be on the same team to help the men so that the next time they, you know, they're with another woman and that man will be educated. So if women, for example, can educate their men if they don't already know, which they might, but if they don't know, it's letting them know about the women's anatomy of arousal. So for example, it takes a woman about 20 to 40 minutes for a woman to become fully engorged. So not a lot of men know that. So it just literally, biologically, physiologically takes a woman for her erectile tissue and her genitalia to become fully engorged. So letting the men know this and also encouraging them during the arousal process to take their time and to not rush it. So that way everybody wins. And so another technique is breathing deeply. It sounds really simple, and it is. So if a man is getting close to coming, if she can encourage him to take some really beautiful deep breaths and visualize and allow that energy that's typically concentrated in their groin and their cock, imagine that with their breath and with their imagination, they can actually spread and move that energy throughout their entire body. And that's something that can help last longer in bed. And then also what she can do with him is really encourage him to start noticing the sensations that are occurring in the body. So, for example, I teach my clients to pay attention to a scale, like 1 being totally not aroused, flaccid, 10 being gone over the edge. If men can start tracking and getting more sensitive in their bodies, knowing when they're getting closer and closer to coming, like if they're getting towards a 7 or 8, let's say, and they get really good at sensing when they're getting to a 7 or 8, they can actually do something about it. If they get to 7, 8, 9 and then it goes too fast because they're not too in tune with their body, there's not a lot that they can do. So participating with their partner, with their guy, about where are they at with their sensation level. And the other thing is to be like their cheerleader and to be a supportive partner in their process, because there's a lot of pressure put on men to last long and you know, go forever and ever. And so to make it a really synergistic, playful partnership, supportive experience of supporting them and being able to last longer, those are all the ways that women can help men last longer in bed.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I often tell from my clients, and I think I put this in my book, as my upcoming book, is to have like a research and development night where you're like exploring each other's bodies. I mean, you went much more in depth, but just really getting in tune with what each other likes and wants.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I love that you mentioned, and with yourself. So where am I at? And what do I need to do? Do I need to tone it down? Do I need to tone it up?
Exactly. Yeah. And with that experimental night that you were talking about, I think it's fun and it mixes things up, especially if you can say, and the context that we're going to set tonight is that we're not going to reach climax or orgasm, like taking that off the table and seeing what else that people can play, or like take off penetrative sex off the table. And when those things are kind of removed, the pressure from those things removed, or we're going to do these things to get to penetrative sex, right? Like when we don't have those things, oftentimes it's, there's all these other places that we haven't looked. We haven't looked in a while to see what other things that we can create to spice it up, to change things up. So I really love that idea. And I, like you, encourage my clients to do that as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have mentioned working with your clients. So besides what we've talked about, what are some of your key elements that you incorporate into your coaching?
Yeah, I like this question. I have three pillars that are the foundation of my coaching. And I might not always be using these terms or these words, but they're always underneath everything that I'm doing. And they're simple. They're three things. So first one is self-love. The second one is self-awareness. And the third one is self-responsibility. And for me to be the best lover, the best partner, to be filled up within myself, is my self-love. And the way that I look at self-love is to be in complete acceptance of how I am, my brilliance, my lightness, my power, and as well as accepting the parts that I don't like about me, or my shadows, or the parts that I wish others didn't see, and even accepting that part. So whenever I am loving myself fully, I'm coming with a full cup to share love, or to share connection with my partner, or anyone for that matter. It's not even just about my partner, right? Like anyone. So, so self-awareness, we've already kind of touched on a little bit of the importance of being self-aware, like what's actually happening in my body. But, you know, moment to moment, like what's happening with my emotions, what's happening with my sensations, what's happening cognitively, where are my thoughts going? Are my thoughts supporting me in this moment? And then the third one, self-responsibility. And the reason why I think self-responsibility is so important, and especially for me, for example, who comes from a background of abusive relationships in various ways, I used to play the victim game, or, you know, blaming somebody else for why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. And whenever I started taking on, I am 100% responsible for everything that happens to me, it was the most empowering thing that I could ever do. Because if that's the case, which we can't prove that it is or isn't, right? Like we can't actually prove that I'm 100% responsible. But when I take that on as my reality, I am at choice and I am at power. I am empowered to actually do something about it, as opposed to being a victim in life happening to me. Self-love, self-awareness, self-responsibility are woven into all of my coaching.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because that's this past week was all about that for me. And although the topic has nothing to do with my sexuality, but I made a decision out of loving myself that I needed to get out of the environment I was living in. Because it wasn't serving me anymore. It was actually taking from me. And when I realized that I love myself too much to live in that environment anymore, I made the choice to change it.
Yay! I'm so glad that you loved yourself in that way and took action according to you loving yourself. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's how everything came together within 5 days.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we act out of love, especially love for ourselves, your world changes.
Totally.
You know, and in terms of attraction, you know, enlightenment is the highest level of, the word is escaping me, but the highest level of how you're able to attract and manifest things into your life. And, I mean, I manifested a new place to live within 4 days. As well as the money to put a down payment on a place. And it was just magical. And then the amount of people that showed up to help make it all happen was just amazing. So, yeah, I love that you said that.
So great.
It was all about me. It was self-responsibility and self-love. And, you know, it all came together.
Yeah, and being aware enough to know that what was happening in your life wasn't serving you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
I love,
you know,
I love what you said just now about this, because you said, you know, moving wasn't even about sexuality. And, you know, one of my mantras that I say is that I support people to love their life inside and outside the bedroom. Because, see, sexuality and intimacy, whatever difficulties we have around that, is a reflection somewhere else in our life. And so, yes, I'm coaching people around sexuality and intimacy, but most of the time they're walking away with way bigger results that transfer over into other areas in their life, whether it be it at home with their family members or at work or with their friends or with their power of manifesting what they desire. So that's the other reason I get really lit up about this work, is that I'm not just helping people have really great orgasms in the bed, which I do help them with that, but that translates to so much more in their life. Yeah.
Well, right, and I totally agree with you. It's all connected in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
You know, so a coach of mine says, life moves when you move. So she said, you know, start moving, Carly. And I did.
This week you moved.
yeah. But I mean, even like, you know, as I've started focusing on moving and being more healthy, just things have been showing up in my life that are much more magical. And, you know, now I'm not, I'm in a freer environment to be able to make it all happen to begin with. So
nice.
Great. So, we are going to go to commercial break, and we'll be right back. And we'll be having more about this fun, juicy conversation. So,
sounds great.
We'll be right back, everyone.
Faces of Success Radio presents the 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion Dinner and Awards Ceremony, Saturday, June 4th and Sunday, June 5th at the Grand Sierra Resort Crystal Ballroom, Reno, Nevada. Nominees are Evelyn Champagne King, GQ, Blue Magic, Radio featuring Arnell Carmichael, Troop, Climax, Roy Hamilton Jr., Richie Rich, Lamar Lubin, and more. Special guest appearances from Earl Young, Johnny King, Khalilah Ali, Club Nouveau, Sherry Gordy, Eric, GQ Young, and Ziola Gay. With honors to Marvin Gaye and Robert Franklin Brookins. Tickets available at facesofsuccessradio.com.
Hey, this is Alvin.
And this is Calvin. We're the godsons of the late legendary godfather soul himself, Mr. James Brown. We'll be at the 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, June 5th, 2016, brought to you by Faces of Success Radio. And as the godfather always told us, whatever we do, it's got to be funky. See you there. Good God.
Welcome back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on facesofsuccessradio.com. And this is a live show, so if anyone has any questions or comments for B. Yates or myself, you can call in to 323-642-1569 and just dial 1. So we've been having a fun conversation about sexual empowerment for the most part and all the wonderful tidbits that are included with that. So actually, it looks like we do have a live caller. So I'm going to go ahead and take that call.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for calling into the show.
All right. Hi. I've been listening to the show tonight and about sexual empowerment, but the part that's really getting me about, you know, men wanting to last longer and wanting to please the woman too, because sometimes you can't even get to where you want to get with these people, with a partner or somebody like that, if they don't do something to make you happy. And if, I mean, let's assuming they want to, because some of them, some men are just, I've found in my life that I couldn't even get that far with them because they didn't really want to. They were all about what they wanted. And it manifested itself in bed because I usually, like, I'm the kind of person that usually wants to wait and, like, get to know a person first. But what they, you know, I found out about this show, by the way, from a friend of mine that I used to know in Louisiana, and she now lives in California. The point, what I'm trying to say is, you know, a lot of those men sometimes they need to, like, know that what a woman wants sometimes is why it takes longer, is it's connecting with emotional things too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always just physical.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure there's a part of a man that has emotional feelings too, but theirs usually seems to me, from a woman's point of view, from maybe not, I mean, just from my point of view, that they're more physical than they are emotional. And how to try to, you know, how to try to get them to understand that.
Right. And so what I think I'm hearing you say is that you've been with some men in the past where they're not interested in the emotional connection. They just want to do the, they just want to get to their pleasure, and it's very physical. And
then that won't be my pleasure. And they, it seems as though they don't care. Right. They're just, you know, they're not even connecting the fact that maybe I want to be turned on, or it's going to take time to do something for me. And then I end up usually telling them they suck in bed, and or throwing them out, or never talking to them again, or even if I had known them for a while. But, I mean, maybe sometimes I thought to myself, like, one time, one night when I was in New Orleans, and I was kind of in my – I'm 43 years old now, but when I was in my 20s, I thought maybe instead of waiting and maybe just get it over the first time, if there's a physical attraction, just find out, if get it over that night and just throw them out and don't sit there and beat around the bush and wait to get to know them and wait till it gets to a couple dates or something, just because it's gonna manifest itself in bed. But then I thought as I got older, it shows itself in other ways. Like, sometimes you didn't get to go to bed with them yet, but you find out that they're selfish, or they wanted you to pay for everything, or they were doing, like, selfish things, and then by the time you got into the bedroom, then you really found out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess it was worse from there.
Well, I want to answer your question by revisiting a little bit of what I've already talked about, and we'll see if some of this plays into what you're talking about. So, for example, the self-awareness part that I was talking about earlier is for you to be aware of yourself enough to know what it is that you're wanting in a lover, and knowing your body and knowing what your wanting as far as connection, whether that's physical or emotional, right? So, like, your awareness and knowing what you're wanting is a really important step. And for you to love yourself enough to say, this is what I'm asking for, and if that's not showing up in this particular lover, then it's clear it's not a match, right?
Right, and maybe, like, just to get, just find that out, because that's true. Different people want different things, but if the guy really wants to be with you, he's going to want to know what you want.
Exactly.
And it's none of your business. Well, I had a boyfriend like that one time, and he used to say things to me like, well, my ex-girlfriend, she loved it when I did this and that, and she looked really good in that, and this made her do this. And I said, we had to break up because, you know, he didn't really want me. He wanted somebody else.
Great.
But
when you're clear about that, it's like, okay, great. Next. You're clear.
Yeah,
that you
that's
don't
what
want
I mean
me.
Like really
yeah.
I think that's what it is. Finding what you want and loving yourself and finding out who you are, and then you can like get them out of there quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't really like me, you don't want me, leave me alone, you know. That's
not
what I want. That's what you know, this other girl, you know. And then some of them, like, I had another boyfriend, and I really loved him a lot. And I think he really loved me a lot, too, but he was sort of like a swinger. He was into, like, bisexuality. And, I mean, it's not that he was, you know, dirty in any way or that he was mean to anybody, but we just did not want the same thing. I wanted a one-on-one relationship, and he didn't want that. But then after we broke up, we ended up being friends, and I'm still, you know, I was still, he found a girl that had a girlfriend that, you know. But that's right. What you're saying is really right.
Yes, yeah, so that's so great that he can have his swingers lifestyle, and he can go out and get what he wants, and you can go get what you want and be really clear that it's not a match. Like, how fantastic.
He found girls quicker than, like, it was funny, like, it took me a long, long time to find another boyfriend, but yet he found another girlfriend right away. But that was fine. It's like different women are different, and it's not your business, and, you know, that doesn't, okay, but that doesn't necessarily make it wrong. But there was one guy who I didn't want what he wanted, but if he's aggressive to me, then that's what's wrong. It's like he's trying to, like, force his will on you without caring what you feel at all.
Right, and that's not okay.
That's when it makes it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know, I really like empowering other women by empowering women to actually speak up and communicate about what it is that they want and to stand up for themselves and love themselves and say, this is what I desire, this is what works for me, and this is what doesn't work for me. And the more that we as women can communicate what that is in bed, right? Like, then don't judge
other women, because maybe that's what they want, but that's not for you to hate other women or judge other women because they like something different and the guy likes what they like. Because there's somebody that'll come along to like you, you know?
Exactly.
But just find out that that's...
Exactly. And not judging the man for not liking, you know, if he doesn't have the same likes as you do, right? So again, this goes back to the very, very beginning of what I said.
As long as they don't get abusive, because some of it, like when I said, when it crosses the line and they don't want what you want, but they're being mean about it, that's when it gets abusive. And that's, you know, if I can, I can usually spot it before that nowadays.
Good for you.
Otherwise,
well,
we could
so
all
much
be
for
friends
calling.
And everything could be fine.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. And thank you. And have a lovely evening. And okay. Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye. That was great.
All right. And then just one thing I wanted to add with that is, also, I mean, if you're continually, and this is to everyone out there, so if you're resonating with her story, if you're consistently attracting things you're not liking, it's important to look at why you're keep attracting the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me?
Absolutely.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So if
totally.
You know, we're have a you know, consistent pattern of attracting abusive partners who aren't honoring us, we need to look at if we're actually honoring ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a slippery slope here when we start talking about like really abusive situations. So I want to say what I'm saying with a lot of respect and gentleness here, but this goes back to what we were talking about around self-responsibility.
Exactly.
It's like, what's going on for me that's having me attract these type of friends or something like that? Not like it's your fault. Bring curiosity to yourself of what's going on within myself that's having me attract this type of energy into my life that's not actually serving to me. So yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I totally agree.
Thank you. Yeah, I was, you know, yeah, when the caller was live, I was trying to get it in there, but I was having a hard time. So, letting it flow. So,
yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
So, what are your, how can women help other women experience more pleasure? And I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'd love to hear your take on this.
Yeah, we have talked about it, and I'll iterate some of the things that I've already said, but talking to other women, like asking them what's going on with their pleasure, what's going on with their in the bedroom for them. I think we're at a really exciting time right now in 2016 where I think we're reaching a tipping point around being able to have conversations around sexuality as becoming more normalized. And
mm-hmm.
and so I just really encourage women to talk to their women friends about what's working in the bedroom for them and what's not. What are they feeling challenged by? I have started a women's group in Boulder and Denver called Lips Wide Open, which you can mm-hmm. find that on meetup.com, Lips Wide Open. And it's a women's group that talks about sexuality, and we learn from each other. And for some of the more bold women, if you're bold and adventurous, you can actually do a massage session for one another, which could or not include genitalia, but like really exploring other women's body. I think when women explore other women's body, we actually learn more about our own body and maybe even what's possible for ourselves. And like I said earlier, educating your lovers, taking the time to educate your lovers that there is no script for what a woman wants. And the more that women can get that and the more that men can get that, I think everyone will be feeling more connected and having way more fun. And it really takes communicating and educating. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what, given a lot already, so I appreciate that. So what we talked about, or a little bit, you have four keys to accessing freedom in the bedroom and beyond, especially for women. So can you talk more about that?
Sure, yeah. So the four steps that I use to work with my mostly women clients, but definitely men as well, the first one is getting connected with the body, and I'll explain a little bit more about by what that means in a minute, but just saying all four of them, it's getting connected with your body. The second one is your relationship to sex. The third one is owning your sexual fingerprint. And the fourth one is putting it into action. And the first one about the body, I know for myself, when I actually took the time to understand the anatomy of women's arousal, it was mind-blowing how amazing and complicated and fascinating our arousal, our whole genitalia, and our whole system in general. And then I became a more empowered lover myself because I understood my body better. And, you know, I believe that the people that are the best lovers are the ones who really are first a really amazing lover with themselves. And that looks like taking time, being with yourself physically and getting to know yourself on a pleasure level. And tuning into the communication that your body, the messages that your body has. So if we look at somatic experience, somatic therapy, neuroscience, and we're learning more and more about the body. The body is communicating to us all the time. It's sending us signals. And the more in tune we can be with, like, actually communicating with our bodies, I feel that we can be more empowered. And then, of course, with the body is also body image and accepting and celebrating our bodies as it is. And this one is, I imagine that most women listening to this can relate that there have been times or maybe a lot of times where we haven't loved or liked our bodies. When we don't accept or celebrate or love our bodies when we're going to the bedroom, that's, I believe that that has an impact on our abilities to be fully self-expressed and to really allow the sexual energy to pulse through our body, right? There's going to be some restriction and repression because we have this thing around, I don't like my body. And so I work with people to, the first step around body image is really accepting their body just as it is, including accepting the parts that you don't like, right? I don't always love my my belly, and I accept that I don't always love my belly, right? Instead of, I don't love my belly, which means something about myself, like making it even worse, right? So educating yourself about your own body, taking your time to self-pleasure, accepting and all the way up into celebrating your body, and then also tuning into the communication of your body, which is sending signals all the time. So that's the first key, if you will. The second one is your view or your relationship to sex. And people, if you want to try something out, you can journal on this tonight, which just take out a piece of paper and you just write sex is dot, 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 and just start journaling. Sex is fun. Sex is scary. Sex is painful. Sex is blah, 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 blah. You can just go on there and just kind of brain dump out, like, what is your view of your sexuality? And then also another one that you could try on is engaging in sex means what? And so this is just an opportunity for you to see your relationship to sex, which I think has a huge impact on how you relate to sex. And then I'll throw in one more, which is beliefs I hold true about sex. And again, with this, with mindfulness, which is being aware of something but not having judgment, whatever you write down, if you were to take on some of these exercises, just choose to look at them objectively and accept that this is what's true for you in this moment. Because if we're doing anything other than that, right, if we're criticizing ourselves for having whatever view you might have, then we're just making it worse. We're making worse on top of worse. Yeah. And then this one I love is really fun. It's owning your sexual fingerprint. And like I said earlier, we all are like a snowflake about how sex shows up for us. And that snowflake can also change often. And I really like to take, and our ability to accept that can change often is really powerful as well. So for example, with their sexual fingerprint, we can look at orgasmic patterns. We can look at how is your libido. There's a dual control model, which looks at the sexual inhibition system and the sexual excitation system, which gives you an opportunity to just kind of explore what are the things that has my brakes come on and what has my accelerator come on. And when we take the time to actually look at these things and write these down and bring curiosities to these things, we can become more empowered lovers. And then I also like exploring the psychological realm, the erotic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I can help people create their, what I call their erotic map. And we can look at four different cornerstones of eroticism by Jack Morin from the book The Erotic Mind outlines these cornerstones of eroticism. So with all this information, we create your sexual fingerprint, which what we were talking about with the caller, it's like it's really powerful for you to say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like, and to own it and to celebrate that. And then the last one is to put it in action. Just like you said earlier, when you move, the world moves, right? And so when mm-hmm. we can create action plan and say, okay, I'm going to schedule a time in my calendar to do this, or I'm going to pick one thing on my list that kind of scares me, but I want to try it, and like have an accountability buddy, or and then making it happen for yourself, or asking for something from somebody else. So those are some ways to put it in action. So those are like the four kind of modules that I use to take folks through becoming more liberated around sexuality.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I was like, oh, you just, you know, I was like, ooh, I want to learn about a lot of this stuff. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
just fascinating. And like you did mention earlier, like this is a time, you know, we're at the kind of edge where people are really starting to get into this conversation about their sexuality. And that's why I was like, I need to have her on the show. Because, you know, it's such an important factor in our lives. And, you know, and yet it's something we don't talk about. We don't know how to talk about. And it's just, you know, something that is very important to all living mm-hmm. beings.
it is.
In fact, one of the men on the show said last week, he said, you know, sex is the third basic human need.
Yeah, and what I like to say is we are all born out of an orgasm.
Yes, that's one of my favorite things to say. Life begins with an orgasm.
Yeah, and it's like so a part of human nature.
I love posting that on Facebook because the reactions are hilarious and fabulous.
I love it.
And often shocking. So, in fact, we might do that soon. Bea, how can people mm-hmm. get in touch with you? How can they learn more about you?
Yeah. They can go to my website, which is beyates.com. B as in boy, E as in Edward, beyates.com. And in fact, if anyone listening to the show mentions the show, if you email me, b@beyates.com, and you'd like a 1-hour introductory session, I'd be happy to offer that to folks. And then if you're interested in the women's group in Denver, Lips Wide Open, you can go to that to meetup.com and find us there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
You're so welcome. This is great.
Wonderful. And we'll have to have you back on the show again, maybe awesome. Closer to the end of the year.
Yeah, because so, you're so busy.
Yes. We have a lot of experts coming on in the next few months for sure.
Yeah.
So again,
amazing.
Thank you so much. And mm-hmm. B's website is beyates.com, beyates.com. And mm-hmm. we'll post her website on the Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein Facebook group, so you can catch mm-hmm. more information about that. About her and the show on that. So it's a Facebook group, just search Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein, and you'll be able
awesome.
To find out more information there. So
beautiful.
So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on facesofsuccessradio.com. You can find out more about the show and myself by visiting facesofsuccessradio.com or my website, carlystein.com. That's KarlyStein.com. Thank you so much, and have a great evening.